All right, Nelson, here's another question for you. How do you know when someone leaves?
Well, usually they walk out of the church cursing and calling me names. And so that's a pretty good indicator. I'm like, that person
that
is not
every week.
Yeah. If someone doesn't curse me and storm out of the church every week, I consider my sermon a failure. Now, the truth is people don't usually walk away loudly. They kind of sneak away. It's like the old joke about, you know, who said money talks? Money doesn't talk. It just sneaks away quietly. And the truth is, from most of these issues that we've looked at in here, particularly the non-malicious reasons, people do just walk away quietly. And so one of the things you want to do is build checkpoints in your church's systems to find out if people are no longer connected. Now, one of my best ones, and perhaps even the most controversial ways to find people who are leaving, is to look at giving. You know, Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And long after people, long before people leave with their feet, they leave with their heart. And so when somebody stops giving, that's a sign that there's something going on in their life. And every person that I've had leave, I can go back and see that 6 weeks before that or even 6 months before that, they stopped giving. And so we do a quarterly giving report where I look at people who gave last quarter that has not given anything this quarter. I'm not worried about the amount. I'm just worried about the fact that they stopped. And we'll check in with them just to see. It won't be a financial check-in per se. Once a year we do a financial check-in, but that's a different talk for a different resource sometime. But we'll check in with them. And I just had this happen just the other day. A lady who's been with us for a long time, she's an executive at one of the local colleges in town. She had not given during the previous quarter. And so I actually took her to follow up with. I mean, we're a large church with a lot of staff. And so I had a handful of people I followed up with, as did other people. And I followed up with her and I found out that she had had some very serious medical issues. And the bills were piling up. And so she had stopped giving in order to focus on those medical issues. Now, I dealt with the giving issue and I explained to her, and she agreed that, you know, that was probably not the wisest decision to make, that, you know, not to give. But mainly I followed up with her about her health issues. And it happened to be a health issue that was pretty private. And, you know, she didn't want a lot of people to know. And even though she was connected and in a small group, they had really been able to keep this quiet. But it was really a point of ministry with her to find out that she was there. I don't think she was in danger of leaving the church, but once someone stops giving, that's kind of the slippery slope to not being there. Other ways that we check in is every year when we run a new small group semester, we pull a list of people who were in groups the semester before but are not in groups now. We have a special follow-up with those. We do an annual member evaluation where we check in with people. And then I mentioned on the resource about we do first-class mail to our database at least once or twice a year to get people who have moved. And all of these give us little checkpoints with people. But I tell you what I really try to do. I really try to keep an eye on the grapevine. When it comes to those prayer requests, I look at every connection card every week when it comes to the prayer request. And that's a lot of time, but I mean, my responsibility as the shepherd is to know the sheep. And I don't necessarily follow up with all those prayer requests, but I look at them. I use my spiritual intuition when God whispers to me or I feel a prompting to follow up with someone. I do that or I assign it to another pastor. And then we try to create systems in our small groups and in our ministry teams where if there are serious prayer requests that are going to lead to interruptions in people's lives, they're there. That gets sent up the line to our pastors. And I'll tell you, Scott, I have found out about an interruption before and gone to someone and tried to squelch that. Like, I'll find out that somebody's praying that they get a job at the new company headquarters in Cleveland, and I'll go to them and I'll say, I want to challenge that prayer request. You know, being a part of our church and being here in this city puts you in a missionary position. And honestly, do you really want to go to Cleveland? Do you really want to go to, you know, Dallas or wherever it might be when you could be right here? And they say, well, you know, New York is so tough or it's this or it's that. So sometimes I'll challenge those interruptions, just like I challenged the guy who was divorced to draw back in close to church. I sometimes challenge people. And I do that prayerfully and I do that cautiously. But, you know, part of being a Christian is taking the difficult road sometimes. And so, you know, if you know that an interruption is coming or you know there's a difficult road, or I'll tell you a better example to this. This was unscripted, right? We said it was unscripted. You start a new service and somebody doesn't want to get up that early. You know, you used to do service at 9:30. They don't want to come at 9:30. They got to be at work at 11, so they can't do the 11. So they got to come to the 9 o'clock. I'll challenge that. You know, if I find out somebody hasn't been coming, I'm like, you're saying to me that you've been a Christian for 10 years, Jesus gave his life on the cross, and you won't get up 30 minutes earlier? I mean, I say that sort of tongue in cheek, but the point's made as part of that. Or if you move locations and they don't want to travel an extra 2 miles or an extra 10 minutes, just challenge that thinking sometimes and help people put that in perspective so that those interruptions don't happen.